When you think of realism in design or the arts, you may think of documentary-like recording of objects or events. You know, no interpretation, just the facts, ma'am. If you think of realism in painting, perhaps you imagine a generic but forgettable landscape, an unremarkable vase of flowers. But what you may not expect are curvaceous, vibrantly glowing peppers tumbling and pushing out of the frame. Pieces of etched crystal, luminous with a hyper-realistic, intricate dance of light and color. Or a local neighborhood cityscape, rich with color as well, but softened with the patina of memory and emotion. Or a glimpse of everyday fruits, so richly and intimately rendered as to invite you into their gleam and their deep depths. All of this and more awaits you at Four Realist Painters, the new Rotunda Gallery exhibition showcasing the work of artists Jack Dickerson, James DiPietro, Albina Herron, and Keith Vogren, and exploring their distinctive personal approaches to realistic subjects. This quartet of artists offer an amazing range of techniques, styles, and mastery, which share with the viewer in their close examination and appreciation of our real world. Four Realist Painters is sponsored by the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission and is showing at Bethlehem's Rotunda Gallery from February 20th through March 27th, with an opening reception and artist talk on Sunday, February 22nd from 2 to 4 p.m. This is WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in once again to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm joined by two of our four realist painters, Jack Dickerson and James DiPietro. So welcome, Jim and Jack.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here. Unfortunately for our listeners, we were having a brilliant conversation before coming into the studio that I hope we can recreate. Just to get started, Jim, you also wear another hat. You're on the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission, and you're intimately involved with programming the Rotunda Gallery, obviously. Just a quick thought, what was the inspiration for the show? Why these four artists? It's interesting how complementary and somewhat different they are.
Well, working with the BFAC and the Rotunda Gallery, we try to have a diversity in terms of subject matter and artist. And one of the ideas was to show a realist show, a show that dealt with the various aspects of realism, which are quite different when one starts examining it. I happened to see the artwork of the other three artists, and I thought, wow, this could be a really terrific show. Because you have Jack's work, and Jack has a tendency to be hyper-realistic to the point of surreal.
Okay.
You have Albina's work, and hers are more photorealistic, trying to question if what the viewer is seeing is real or a photograph.
Okay.
And also you have Keith's work, and he has a tendency to deal with neorealism, kind of a personal view of landscapes throughout our city. And then you have my work, which is almost a stylized realism that deals with telling a story. So we had different avenues of interest for the public, and that was one reason that the Rotunda Committee thought this could be a very worthwhile show.
It's interesting to me because I feel like for the lay viewer, you know, for people attending the show, not only do you get to experience this wonderful art, but yeah, it's so thought-provoking in terms of just even for me preparing for this interview, questioning what I would have, I don't know, my perception of realism would have been and what it would have been the limitations or non-limitations of it. So you've just described four different artists with four distinct styles right there. Jack, we were talking a little earlier about how you worked, and we were talking about hyper-realism. Could we back up a little bit to talk about how you started painting and how you would describe the work and how you create it?
Okay. Background is that I do realism, but I also do very abstract kind of things, too.
Interesting.
So I approach them to both very differently.
Okay.
In the abstract stuff, it can be, it's coming out of me, completely out of me, making things up. And that. But I also like painting. The technique of painting is very important to me, you know. Realism is when I take myself much more out of the process of composing things. I mean, I edit some things and stuff like that, but there I am really trying to just faithfully look and capture what is really, relatively speaking, really out there.
Right.
And so it's a very different approach, but it's an approach that I find very useful in developing technique, because when you're trying to be very exacting, you have to look very closely,
you know,
and notice things. And so it's an exercise for me. Hmm. So on the one extreme is the abstract, on the other extreme there's the realism, and then sometimes I try to marry them a little bit together. And that's where I think you might see some of the surrealism start to come in, or trying to work on a technique, a different style of actually applying the paint and stuff, which might make one realistic painting have a little different feel than one painted using a slightly different method.
Right.
But that's the exercise for me. I go back and forth between these two poles almost, and then try to find the middle at times.
It's interesting, because I was saying to a colleague here at the station, interesting that you describe it that way, that it's as if when I look at some of the images associated with the show, that it felt very Zen to me, in the sense that I said, like your peppers, James, or the cut glass. I could walk through a room and look at a cut glass bowl, and I see it. I see the bowl, the real bowl. I walk through and I see a red pepper. That's nice. And it's as if these images, these paintings, make me stop and go, you're not looking. You're not sitting with these things. And it just teaches me a whole different way of being with, I don't know, moving through my day or moving through the world.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot out there to see that we oftentimes don't notice unless we really...
Well, Albina,
yeah.
in when speaking to her,
yeah.
She feels that any person can paint, but it's the ability to see what you're painting that distinguishes what you do as an artist and how successful you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that seeing the object or the scene in realistic terms, dealing with the real world. And you're actually dealing with a false reality when you are going to create paintings that show off what your image will be.
It's interesting, because Albina's tech, or the images I've seen, it seems quite common that she works with a black kind of paper or background, and then seems to refer often to working gouache, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Almost it sounds like a watercolor technique, or... Mm-hmm. You had mentioned a layering, a kind of building up and taking away of color. And I had read a description from her of her working on a particular piece, Bleeding Hearts. And I mentioned to both of you before we came on the air that she said, you know, well, I worked at it for 10 hours a day for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I don't know if the average layperson realizes in that process. And both of you kind of came back at me with some surprising framing of, Jim, how long would you typically work with us before you move on to another piece?
Well, many times it depends on the size of the piece.
Okay.
But normally, even a small piece takes about a month to 2 months to complete when you're starting to deal with the accuracy and the details.
I was going to say, it being realism adds to that amount of investing of time and patience. Yes, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You want to get across your image. And in my case also, I tend to tell a story with my imagery. Some of the artists are more concerned with just the objects they're painting.
Right.
And it's just how we go about narrowing down our focus on what we're doing to be successful as realist painters.
The other thing I notice is, again, a non-painter, a common thread for me looking at these that made me look again at the objects, too, and the richness and the depth. It was a lot of working with light in ways that were really intense. Jack, particularly the piece I mentioned just in the opening, just the cut crystal piece, again, just struck me. For the listener, there's several pieces within the piece. There's several pieces of cut crystal or etched crystal in the piece. And yet within that frame, that kind of shot or that setup, there's nuances of color and light and intricacy and depth that are just mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the light part, is capturing that part of the challenge or the intrigue?
Yeah.
Or giving it depth or vibrancy. Or
my mother painted a little bit, and she did watercolors. But she would say to me, someday you got to try glass.
Really?
Glass. Try glass. It is a trip, kind of. She didn't use those terms, but basically that was the message. And so that particular painting was an effort to, like, take on glass.
Okay, interesting.
To take on glass and see what I would see if I was really looking closely at it.
Yeah. And I think the subject matter in this particular show is varied, too.
Yeah.
Not only is it still life, in some cases, like with Keith's work, he's more interested in the landscape and kind of like a romanticized version of scenes from around the community that have a special meaning to him. And he deals with the detail of street scenes and rural scenes and wanting to encompass what is seen. And he tends to layer his canvases with color and light in order to get across that stage of realism.
It's interesting because they struck me as being very realistic, accurate, so to speak, if that's the language, but also luminous with memory is how I'd almost describe it. You could, even though they're not necessarily, I suspect they're contemporary, but there is that sense of some emotional connection to the painter that you're feeling, you're viewing it through that in some way.
And Jack has some lovely pieces of figures in the show. So there's a lot for people to see and a lot of different subject matter through the realistic lens.
We're coming up on a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what we'll see in the show and about the work and about the techniques. But for now, just to mention, you've been listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been talking with painter Jack Dickerson, as well as artist and Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission member James DiPietro, about Four Realist Painters, the new exhibition showcasing the work of Dickerson and DiPietro, along with artists Albina Heron and Keith Vogren, showing at Bethlehem's Rotunda Gallery February 20th through March 27th, with an opening artist reception on Sunday, February 22nd from 2 to 4 p.m. with an artist talk at 3 p.m. We'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight we're exploring the many different nuanced approaches to realism in painting, as showcased in Four Realist Painters, the new exhibition showcasing the work of artists Jack Dickerson, James DiPietro, Albina Heron, and Keith Vogren, showing at Bethlehem's Rotunda Gallery February 20th through March 27th. My guests tonight are two of those four, James DiPietro and Jack Dickerson. Welcome back. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the differences in the paintings themselves and the style. But on the break, we were talking a little bit about technique, etc. Let's back up a little to Jack. You've got an unusual combo with both what your profession is, your pathway into painting, and the use of music in your work. Can you talk a little bit about all that?
I'm a psychologist, so I would paint as a way of kind of focusing more on myself than focusing on what's going on in other people's lives. It kind of helped complement, you know, how much you pay attention to what the other person is talking about, and, you know, when you're working with them. But there's a tremendous overlap of all three areas. You know, the music was improvisational. So when I do more abstract painting, I rely heavily on improvisational kind of ways of approaching things. When I work with patients, there's a very much an improvisational aspect to that, because everyone's different, bringing in different things every day. So when I'm painting realistically, I'm doing it kind of more for myself. And music was how I learned improvisational. That was my way of practicing being improvisational. So the three all kind of like intermingle and inform one another. Working in art, I work a lot in Photoshop. It helped me understand the human mind from many different angles that I would not have ever experienced any other way. There's a real interaction among, they each teach towards kind of integrating a bunch of different sources of information. And so I see them all as part, when I see a patient for the first time, that can almost feel like they bring a painting in their life that I then have to try to look closely at and notice and understand as best as possible. So it's a very stimulating kind of combination of influences.
That's fascinating. And Jim, we were talking a little bit about Keith, on the other hand, who is working with landscape, cityscape, kind of an emotional reaction to it, but the technique of how he's layering paint and working with that is really important to his work.
With Keith's work, he has more of a controlled looseness. He's interested in showing visible brushstrokes in his work, whereas many of us try to hide those brushstrokes when we're dealing with realism. Nature and architecture are important to him. In terms of me, I'm not into architecture as an artist. I'm more into realistic subject matter that has a socio-political theme, a message that I can tell. I see myself as a visual storyteller.
Interesting.
And the subject matter varies in terms of the concept I'm trying to get across.
And do you feel like, given that, visually the objects, how would I put it, in terms of subjects, the subjects chosen, for instance, are going to reflect that story. It's not only an observation of a kind of moment in time or an object in time.
Well, with my artwork, I can also tend to be mixed media oriented.
Okay.
I have one piece that will be in the show that deals with immigration. Multiple imagery of children that are imprisoned, Lady Liberty wearing a blindfold, all symbolic but realistically rendered.
Right. Speaking of the show, as well with the great variety of work, Jack, you had mentioned that you seem to have almost, I don't know if I should speak for you, chosen your pieces to present almost a chronological arc of your work and how it's developed. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was first trying to figure out basic stuff, you know, the realistic paintings were ones where I'd do portraits and my brushwork was different. It was, you know, it's evolved over time.
Yeah.
So I have one or two pieces that are kind of from an earlier period. Then I started getting even what I guess is being called more hyper-realistic. More of an emphasis on detail and things like that. And there are a number of the pieces there kind of are from that stage. And more recently, I've been focusing on changing my brushwork. Much more detailed in certain ways. And so there's actually a lot more detailed brushwork in the most recent thing. I think I have one painting which represents more of that. And it's a little stylized. It's not realistic like the other ones, earlier works, you know. So it's kind of like growing, you know. I'm still kind of seeing where else I'm going to go with, you know, how I approach these subject matters, you know.
Yeah, I believe the subject matters, as I said, are very diverse in this show. Like, Albina focuses on the natural world. It's more plants and animals that she focuses on, giving that photorealistic view. As you said, she builds up areas and layers them so that they have a detailed accuracy of what she sees as an artist and what she wants you to see as a viewer.
And in preparing for that, I mean, it's interesting. Do you? I'd read a bit of an interview with her where she talked about, again, with the piece I'd been looking at, that she had taken the flowers and done photographic studies first to work with what she wanted to end up with looking at realistically, light, depth, whatever, and take kind of build up to it slowly, you know, that again, that very Zen sense of looking deeply and then sitting down at work and then the long hours of recreating that and capturing that. You had talked, Jack, about preparing, given that you painted to music so often, actually integrating the music into a night scene. Can you?
Yeah.
Which is a very simplistic way of putting it.
I probably do it more in some of the more contemporary abstract things. I like to hide things in my paintings that many people will look at and not see, but some people will. And I really love that because it means they're really looking closely and they're not just assuming what they're seeing right off the bat. But in this one realistic piece, I wanted to try to integrate a movement, or at least part of a movement, Beethoven's, I think, Pastoral Symphony, that would play in the background a lot of times, and I just fell in love with it. So I took a painting, I did a painting of a night sky with the Milky Way galaxy in the, you know, in the composition. But I also took the score of Beethoven's, this one movement in Beethoven's symphony, a part of it. It was too big to get the whole thing in. But I, using stars, I plotted out the score that was in the, what the conductor would look at when he's, and then I kind of swirled that whole combination of notes that looked like stars in, I embedded it in the Milky Way galaxy. And, you know, it would be the kind of thing that if people were taking a quick look, they may not even know it's there, but it's there. And that's why I called it Ludwig's Night Out.
For our viewers, if we go online, there is a website, of course, for the Rotunda Gallery, and we can see a few of the images, get a sense of what we're talking about here. It's through the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission, correct, Jim?
Right. It's bfac-lv.org.
Okay.
It will tell us the slate of different shows we have this year, if you go to it, and you'll see examples of the work for this particular show.
Okay. And what is, we only have a few moments left. Could you share some highlights of what's coming up after this exhibition?
Well, we just finished a show by Stephen Landis of Bethlehem Still Photographs.
Right.
And then our show follows. After that, we have a lot of young artists worked on view because we'll be having the Bethlehem Area School District show, which runs April 6th to May 14th. That's followed by an organization called the Bethlehem Palette Club, which is a local organization that highlights professional and amateur artists. And that show runs May 20th to June 28th. And that takes us into the summer with Michael Palladino, who does mixed media work with wood and encaustic wax.
Ooh.
So it should be, as I said, the BFAC and the Rotunda Gallery try to have a real diversity in terms of what we're showing to promote the arts in our community.
And just for our listeners, just to remind you, the show that's coming up, once again, before we go, is Four Realist Painters, featuring the work of James DePietro, Jack Dickerson, Albina Heron, and Keith Vogren, running February 20th through March 27th at the Rotunda Gallery, which is next to City Hall, Northside, Central Bethlehem. That's on Church Street in Bethlehem. The gallery hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. The artist reception is Sunday, February 22nd, 2 to 4. And although we didn't get to talk a lot about it, a new feature, of the, relatively new feature of the artist reception is an artist talk that will happen at 3 p.m. I cannot highly recommend that enough. It's fascinating. If you enjoyed the show this evening with our two guests today, you'll love the artist talk. So we are out of time. I want to thank both of you, Jim and Jack, and wish you a wonderful opening.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you for
sharing. Hope you can attend. It's free.
That's right. We should remind folks that it is free, open to the public, although we call it the artist reception, which it also is. And we want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. I've been your host, again, Kate Scuffle, here on WDIY 88.1 FM, the Lehigh Valley's public radio. And I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.